Thank you very much for being with us on this Thursday evening. I really feel gypped this week because in my head I thought it was Wednesday. And my wife instructed me that it's Thursday. So thank you very much for being with us on this Thursday. I feel like I lost a day, but we're glad that you're here. So this is the final night of this week, and we would like you to come back on Sunday night. And the will of God, Brody and I will be here again Sunday night for the preaching of the gospel at 7 o'clock. So please do come back. And we do hope you have an interest in your soul. And if you do have an interest in your soul, that you'll close in with the offer of mercy at this time to be saved, that God is offering, because you can be saved. You don't have to wait till Sunday night. You can be saved tonight. And so thanks for coming. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy Son and for what He has done. We think of that track that He was on and He didn't turn back. And we thank Thee that He is the searching shepherd that we were hearing about. We are the lost sheep and the lost coin, but we thank Thee for the shepherd that searched and the Spirit typified in that woman with the broom and the light. And we thank Thee that we have been found. Blessed be His name. We owe everything to the divine persons by which we have been saved. We thank Thee for the Lord Jesus who died for us to pay for our sins. The payment has been made. The debt has been canceled. And we thank Thee we have been saved by grace. And for those who are not saved, we would pray for blessing tonight. Think of them in Burnaby tonight. Pray for them in Summerside. We would ask Thee for them down in Wisconsin. These different series of gospel meetings, we would pray for blessing in salvation. We think of the children's meeting tomorrow night and ask Thee to draw young people along and others perhaps from the community, and ask Thee that there will be just help given in that. So we thank Thee now for Thy Son. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. We're turning our Bibles now to the book of Galatians. The book of Galatians. So you've got 1st and 2nd Corinthians, and then you've got Galatians before Ephesians. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20 says, it's Paul speaking as he writes, and he makes reference to the crucifixion, of course, of the Lord Jesus. And yet the interesting thing that you would almost think it was Paul on the cross. He's writing about Christ and what He did when He died on the cross. And yet he said there was a sense in which I was there. God saw me there. Because that's what he says here in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I particularly want you to notice the last part of that verse. The life that I now live, he says, in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me, and gave himself for me. The apostle was one who was not always saved. I think we would be safe to say that the apostle Paul was raised to be always religious. He was not someone who just grew up in a home where he was just where everything went. He was not a home where he was not taught right, where he hadn't been taught right from wrong. He had been taught about God. He had been taught about laws, commandments. He had been taught about sacrifices. He had been taught about a God who must be appeased because of sin. He had been taught about sin. And we come to this verse that we have read from Galatians chapter 2. And he says, there is something that divides my life. He says, there's a life that I now live. The life that I now live. He said, it's different. There came a point in my life when everything changed. He said, before I was just religious, but there was an event that took part of at a point in my life where my perspective changed, everything changed. He says it was there. And at that moment that I found out when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, he was not a fake, he was not a fraud. He had been sent from God, and as far as God was concerned, he was dealing with my sin. And he says, I've been crucified with Christ. The cross of Christ is really my cross. What took place when God punished him? It was really for me. And he says, why did it take place? Not because I was lovable, but because the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I want to think about this tonight, just for a few minutes. I want to think, first of all, about something that Paul had to learn. Something he had to learn. Now, learning, I want to be careful now, because there are some people who think that they couldn't be saved until they learn a certain amount of things. And if they maybe study the Bible and they study this way concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and if I keep on learning, eventually I will come to a point where I've learned enough and I'll kind of slide into God's salvation. But that's not how it works. But Paul does mention things that he learned. In fact, he says earlier in the passage, up in verse 16, he says, knowing. I now know something I didn't know before. How does he know that? Because he learned it. He didn't always know this. His religion didn't teach him this. In fact, this that he knows, this that he has learned, is not something that he had been taught in the religion in which he was raised. The religion in which he was raised gave him a system of laws to try to keep. And they thought that by doing those laws and adhering to those standards, that they would gain favor with God. And the fact that their parents were belonging to this religion, and because they had part of a national identity that was really close to God, then they thought they already had an in with God. They thought they already had favor with God. And he thought, now all I have to do to keep this and to gain the last bit of confidence that I need is I need to be zealous, and I need to be careful, and I need to be sincere, and I need to do certain things and keep the laws, and eventually that which I don't know that I have, I will eventually get. I will be justified in the sight of God. Now, Brody was reminding us of a man who went to the temple one day and he prayed. Do you know how he was justified? You see, the other man that stood at the temple, they could well have been the man who wrote this, a man very much like him. He was a Pharisee, and he was justifying himself. And he was saying all the things that he had done and all the things that he hadn't done and how he was better than others. That's what the Pharisee said. But the man that the Lord Jesus said was justified that day was a man who stood and the evening sacrifice had been offered. And he prayed a simple prayer to God. He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Conscious of that sacrifice that was there, that was for him. There was one that had died so that he could be accepted. He said, God, please accept me on the basis of the sacrifice. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The Pharisee would never have prayed that. He was saying, I'm not a sinner. He was saying, I'm not bad. I'm good. I pray. I tithe. God accepts me for who I am. That was what he thought. You see, he had never learned what Paul learned. Verse 16 tells us this, that Paul heard it, For a time in his life, he didn't believe it. He didn't agree with it. But there came a time in his life when he bowed to what God had been trying to show him all along. And he says, I now know this. This is what he knew. That a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to learning, this is something you do have to learn. You don't have to learn a certain book of the Bible. You don't have to learn a certain system of rules. But you will never be saved if you do not learn this, that I cannot save myself. I cannot clear away my guilt in the sight of God. It took what the Lord Jesus Christ did for me. Paul says, I learned that. I didn't always know that. He says, I didn't always agree with that. But there came a point of repentance in his life when he didn't like it, but he agreed with it, even though it made him the sinner that Christ died for. Can I ask you tonight, when it comes to learning, maybe you think, well, I'm just trying to learn the Bible. I'm trying to learn about Jesus Christ. The first thing you need to learn is this. Every single one of us need to. We're a sinner. We can't save ourselves. And that's why the Lord Jesus came. You see, the cross never makes sense until we learn that we cannot save ourselves. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, is a tragedy that has no meaning or sense until I understand there was no other way I could be saved. And we turn and we receive it for ourselves. We trust the Lord Jesus Christ because we need that to be saved. We need it what Christ did. So the learning, he says, I now know it. He says, I didn't always know it. He again come into chapter 3 and he makes reference to learning. He says, well, what was the law for? If it wasn't to keep, if it was not to make me look good in the sight of God, if it was not to give me a system of rules to fit me for heaven, what was it for? Well, in chapter 3, the very next chapter that we read in verse 24, he says it was actually like a schoolmaster. It was like a teacher, like a tutor. And it guided me. And he says, it was our schoolmaster. And just to so I don't misquote it, in verse 24, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. So Paul says, I had to learn that. I had to learn what the law was for. I thought the law, the golden rule, was to make me feel good about myself. I thought it was to give me something to do. You see, that's what religion does. Religion gives us something to do. But it's man-made. It's not from God. And the Bible is in our lap so that we can learn that, not from us or from within. We're not born knowing that. We only learn it when we come face to face with it in the Bible. Now, here's the thing. You can learn that, but will you bow to it? Will you agree with it? Will you accept that it makes me the sinner? I could never keep the law. It simply points out my sin. And if I don't understand that, I won't understand the value of these words, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Learning. But secondly, there's another thing that Paul makes reference here to by the Spirit of God, and it's life. Life. He says, the life that I now live. You see, there's a certain learning that we need so we understand who we are as sinners. But the Lord Jesus himself said in John 3, we don't only need to learn something. We need life. He said, you must be born again. You must be born from above. If we are going to go to heaven, we must have the life that heaven requires, the life from above that only God can provide. It is not physical life. Everyone here is alive physically. We have 2 feet in our heartbeat. You eat your supper, likely, or your dinner. And we enjoy those things. I enjoyed some very nice food yesterday from some of our friends here tonight. And I enjoyed it very much because I'm alive physically. But you know, I sat down this morning and I read my Bible, and you know why I enjoyed that? Because I have spiritual life. There's a time when my life when I was born again. There's a time when I came to understand the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me, was so that I could be born into God's family, I could be forgiven, and I now enjoy the things that God wants me to enjoy. You see, you could never enjoy the thing God wants you to enjoy without life. The Bible teaches us that we are dead in our sins. And that's why we might say prayers, but we can't really pray as a person in relationship with God until we have life. And again, we find that in the passage. Paul goes back and he says in verse 13 of chapter 1, he says, my manner of living before, he says, I passed my time, my manner of living in time past was in the Jews' religion. And he says, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And he says, I profited in the Jews' religion above mine equals. I was above all the others in my own nation, being exceedingly zealous of tradition. Oh, but he says, when it pleased God. There was something that happened in the life of Paul when God spoke to him personally on the Damascus Road in Acts chapter 9. And he received the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And he received life. And he says, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Have you ever had a moment like Paul had when you were born again? When life as a Christian began. It's not a process. You see, it's looked at as a birth. Because a birth happens, it's an experience. It happens in an occasion. When a child is born and instantly the eyes open and the breathing happens. And the cry, the baby cries. And life begins. And that's an illustration of what happens when we are saved. There's a sense in which, spiritually speaking, the eyes open. The heart begins to live. There is an instant response to God. There's an instant thankfulness for what the Lord Jesus did. You know, I was saved quite young. And I knew that the Lord Jesus died for me. That was what I saw, that I was a sinner that deserved to be in hell. But the Lord Jesus on the cross was bearing my sins and he answered to God for me. And I knew, well, if he suffered for everything that I needed to be in hell for, I will never be in hell because the Lord Jesus suffered in my place. God won't send me to hell. He can't because Jesus died for me. You know, I didn't really know that that's what saved was. And I listened to the gospel, Mr. Burden and Mr. Grattan that were speaking for a couple of more nights in it, and it was starting to dawn on my mind, that's what saved is. And I asked my mother, Mom, how do you know you're saved? And she explained it to me. And I said, well, the other night, I understood that the Lord Jesus Christ died for my sins. He died for me. And I don't have to go to hell because Jesus died for me. And she said, could you thank God for what he did for you? And I don't know what my prayer was. It was very, very simple. Just a little boy who had life, who had thankfulness in his heart, who had joy that I'll never be in hell, but I'll be in heaven for one reason. Jesus died for me. And Paul says there's a moment when life begins. The life that I now live, it's not what I had before. He said, I had religion. He said, I was zealous. I excelled in it. He said, I was above all others in my religion. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said. I was excelling in it. I was an excellent student. But he said, I was dead in my sins. And I wasn't alive to God. I was dead until I found out that the Jesus who died on the cross is the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so there's learning tonight. Will you accept from the Bible that it tells you you can do nothing to save yourself? There's life in the verse. There's a moment when life begins. And Paul references that. And he speaks about the time past. And there are other references to life as well. But I want to just close my message with the idea of love. The Son of God who loved me. Learning. And life. And love. You see, it says the Son of God who loved me. It's past tense. It doesn't say the Son of God who loves me. You see, he's not saying that I'm the Apostle Paul who is writing the Bible and I'm preaching and I'm giving my life for the Lord Jesus now. And it would only be right if the Son of God loves me presently. The gospel preacher who loves me, the Christian, who loves me as one who is willing to lay down my life, who pours over the Bible, who understands it, who appreciates it. Doesn't say that. It says, before I was ever born, there was one who knew about me. Before I was ever saved, there was someone who watched me. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 says, I was actually blaspheming against the God of heaven. He said, I was persecuting those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I was injuring them and putting them to death. And even when I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and I was injurious, the Son of God loved me. He loved me when I was nothing more than a dead sinner on the road to hell, speaking against me. And that's when he made the move to leave heaven and go to the cross to die in my place. You see, once again, it underlines this truth. I can do nothing to save myself. You can do nothing to save yourself. But you don't have to. Because what was true of Paul is true of every single one of us. The Son of God who loved me. He has seen us at our worst, and he loves me. He loved me, again, before the foundation of the world, before ever I was born, he knew about me. He knew I was coming. He knew the world that would turn against him. He knew the world that would crucify his son. And yet God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So tonight we are here to tell you that you do not have to save yourself. You cannot. You do not have to make yourself lovable. You don't have to say prayers or shed tears so that God will love you. He loved you long ago. He loved you when he went to the cross to take care of your sins. And tonight he just wants you to accept it as a sinner without life on the road to hell. He wants you to accept what he has done for you in love. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself. You see, love alone is not enough. But it took action. It took a payment, a price that had to be paid. It took a life that had to be laid down. It took an offering that had to be offered in the holiest, in the very presence of God. And the Hebrews tells us that through the eternal Spirit, he offered himself without spot to God. Who for? So that God would be satisfied to forgive any sinner, that the effects of sin had been rolled back and dealt with, and God was happy and satisfied. Sin has been dealt with, and now he turns and he offers salvation to any sinner simply on this grounds, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. Could you come up with an offering that would even remotely equal what the Lord Jesus has already done? Do you think in some way you could ever satisfy God the way the Lord Jesus has satisfied him? Of course not. None of us can. But we don't have to. Because the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And Paul says, on the basis of that, there is a life that I now live. And there is a knowledge that I have that salvation, justification is not by keeping the law or by doing religion, but it's by faith in Jesus Christ. I hope tonight these words can become personal and special to you, the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.